Check, check. Blessings, glory, and honor, they all belong to him. Come on and slip your hands together and bless God this morning on this ninth day of March. Amen. We are blessed and we are highly favored. Amen. To be in this place, in this assembly, to be together, one another, you, I, and all of us. God have worked behind the scenes again to get us here safely, because some ways we can say, I can count the ways that the Lord have poured over me and overshadowed me with his blessings. But then again, I cannot count all of the things that he have done to make this very moment possible. Let's put our hands together again one more time, because God is just that good to us. He is just that great. And I thank him this morning. Let's begin with the word of prayer as we move into the interior of this day. We are 1 hour, ahead? We're 1 hour ahead today, amen? So we get out the cobwebs and all of the fogginess of the things that are behind us, and we're going to move forward now into the great blessings of God. I want Sister April to come today. I think it would just be wonderful if you would come and just lift us today together in prayer, and just invite and invoke the Spirit of Christ to come in. Come on up this morning, Sister April, and give us prayer. Amen. It's a microphone right there. Yes. Come on up.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise him.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I just want to read in your hearing Psalms 119, 150, verse 153 and 154. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. And I was reading this morning, and some of you all that are watching, I know that the affliction is hard. I know the trials are hard. I know what you're going through is hard. But this morning, the Lord said, I'm getting ready to revive you. I'm getting ready to quicken your spirit. I'm getting ready to redeem you. So as we go into prayer on this morning, let's not only pray for those that are in the congregation this morning, but pray for those that are getting this word through the airways, that's getting it through the app, because God is doing a new thing in Nation Harvest on this morning. He's doing a new thing inside of you this morning. The Lord is considering what you've been going through. He hasn't forgotten what you're going through. But on this morning, he is going to revive you, because you have not forgotten the word that has been put inside of you. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we thank you on this morning, God. God, we thank you for your mercies, oh God. God, we thank you for your grace, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, that you allow us to make it here safely, oh God. God, we thank you on this morning that we have made it through another week, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, for the blessings that you have bestowed on your people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, to remove everything that is not like you, oh God. Revive us on today, oh God. Quicken our spirits on today like never before, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we thank you for your word that is going forth on today, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Continue to equip our man of God that you have put before us right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, let the word penetrate our hearts right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let us grasp hold to this word that you have for us on today, in the name of Jesus. Let this word, oh God, that you have for us, let us carry us throughout the week, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father God, we plead the blood of Jesus, oh God, ever over every soul that is in this house on today. We plead the blood of Jesus, oh God, that all that are watching on today, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we thank you for your healing power, oh God, that you're sending through the airways and the byways right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Sharpen us right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, give us a listening ear on today, what you have right now. Stir us up like never before, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we thank you, oh God, for the souls that you're bringing to this place right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Bless those, God, that had the right and wanted to come, oh God, but was not able to come, oh God. Meet them right there where they're at right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, we speak blessings over this house right now, in the name of Jesus, God. We speak peace right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God. For you said in your word, oh God, that thou will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, oh God. God, bless our first lady on today, God. Bless our man of God today in a mighty way. Show up and show out in this place like you never have before, in the name of Jesus. And we give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. And everything is done in Jesus' name we pray. And it is so. Amen and amen. I just want to say on this morning, as I was reading the word, and how we as sometimes get complacent, we get comfortable because the affliction, the pain that we go through, we just think that we can't bear it. But God said that he won't put no more on us that we can bear. Just think, as you're at home and you're thinking about, Lord, why me? Why not you? Why you can't go through? The same God that brought you to it is the same God that will bring you through it. So I just ask you on today, and those that are watching, just stand on the promises of God. He said that he will never leave you, nor he will forsake you. He said, greater is he that is in me that is in the world. We know that we have power, and God has given us authority to tread over the enemy. So the tool that he has given you on this morning to tread against the enemy's head, use it on this morning. Because God is going to bless us. God is going to keep us. God is going to take every obstacle that is in our way, God is going to move it. The Lord said, if you speak to that mountain by faith that mountain shall be moved. Amen. Amen. Let us receive our man of God, Bishop Don Hirth, as he come at this time. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, Sister April. Thank you so much for opening with prayer and your exhortation this morning. Truly, everything that you have said, it resonates with us. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. That it makes all the difference in the world. Well, this is a day that the Lord has made, and what are we going to do? We're going to rejoice, and also we're going to be glad in it. Amen. We're going to be extremely glad in it. My God. Ha ha, yes. The wonderful things of God. The beautiful things of God. Before I go forward, you know, Kenyon, anything from you this morning? Maybe before we get out? Amen. I'm going to lean on you, son. I promise you. I'm gonna lean on you like never before. I'm going to lean on you like never before because, you know, the things that God so wonderfully blessed us with and so beautifully so, I think that sometimes we overlook the greater blessings. Amen. Because we are so, for so long, we've become so materialistic in our relationship with God that we're not happy until God give us stuff that breaks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As opposed to seeking the Lord for things that are more beneficial to us. It's almost like our mentality is almost like we eat. We're just kind of fast food mentality. We don't want anything that brings quality to life. As excited as we become about things that just make us feel good. But we've got to get more excited about the things that God is putting into our lives that are extremely much more significant. And things that are much more long-lasting. And so I say that to say that I could get so excited in ministry even after these many years about the mechanics of ministry, people and platforms. I mean people, not people like excited about them, but the number of people and the platforms and the spotlights. But the individual themselves, the people that God placed in our lives, and the quality of the relationship that we build with those people that God put in our lives is much more meaningful than something that's going to soon fade away so quickly. Because listen, people, when it comes to numbers, just like they walked in the door, you all have been around church long enough, they'll walk right out. Amen. You know, commitment. No dedication, just simply just passing through and on their way somewhere else. Amen. So much for that. Listen, today I want to get into this very teaching moment. You go ahead and get your electronic device together, get your traditional means, your Bible, your paper pages, or whatever they are, and go to Romans chapter 8. And when you get to Romans chapter 8, verse number 31 and verse number 32. I had called this morning because I really wanted to make illustration today. I called Regina to tell you to bring something, and I needed you to bring me my illustration today. I really needed you to bring me, Cash, your PS5, whatever PS you have. Which one do you have? 5. Man, I needed you to bring that thing, like, boy, like real bad today. Can you think of anything that you have, that you own, that's more important to you than your PS5? Materially, now. I know mom and dad, they're more important. But do you have anything else that you own that's more important than that PS5? Your phone? Did you bring it? You did. Boy, that's better than that PS5. I'm so glad you brought that phone. Bring it up here to me. Give it to me. I hope you ain't going to need it during service. You got to have it for it. You need it with your Bible on it? You do? All right, then. You got it with you, though, right? It's in the car? You going to trust him to go get it? Man, I need him to go get it. All right, y'all are going to Romans chapter 8, number 31, verse number 31 and verse number 32. I could have called Kennedy also and asked her to bring me something that was most valuable to her. I don't know what it would be. Probably your phone too, right, Kennedy? Yeah. Because that's what April takes out of your life when she really want to get, when she's trying to prove a point, right? Is that phone. Oh, boy. I couldn't have did that with Kenyon because he lost his all the time. He bought a phone every other Thursday. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Good to see my mother-in-law this morning. Come on, give God a hand, praise. Isn't he wonderful? Come on, y'all. Come on, you can do better than that. Here in verses number 31 and verse number 32, you're going to find three questions. And these are questions that should become a part of your spiritual regimen. They should be like a daily vitamin, or they should really take place whenever that you're going from one level to another. And you should always be increasing in levels. You should always be increasing in levels, meaning that you're going to always need these verses that ask these three questions, because these three questions must be answered whenever you're going from one level to another. I hope that everyone that is here this morning is in the process of moving from one level to another. You're moving onward, you're moving forward. What shall we say then to these things? Question number one. If God be for us, who can be against us? Question number two. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The third question. What's the first question? What shall we say to these things? That's an argument. That's an argument. That's a very cogent argument. We're going to argue the fact. What are we going to say? What will we continue to engage in dialogue with one another about? How shall we continue to go on and on about this? What shall we say to these things? What things? If God is for us, who can be against us? All right? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the who, because the who comes without argument. It has been settled. If God be for you, who can be against you? No one. This appeals to logic. There is no place for volition, no place for will. You don't have to engage your will in this at all, because it's simple. It's only logical if God is for us. We cannot lose. Recite that. If God's for me, I cannot lose. It doesn't matter what the opposition is. It doesn't matter what force, what power comes after you. The argument has been settled. If God is for you, you're going to win in the end. I'm talking about myself. You have to make this your own resolve. I win in the end. It doesn't make any difference what it looked like. I win in the end. I win in the end. I will always win in the end. God for us, that's the who. That says to me that the winner has already been decided before the game began. The winner has already been decided, right? before the game even begins, because God's ability is going to overwhelm any enemy that you could have. God's power, his ability, is going to overwhelm any opponent, any challenge that comes toward you. The power of God is going to overwhelm that. And you or I will never, ever have to worry about coming in second. Now you can be the head, not the tail. You will be first and not last. You shall be above and not beneath. Why? Because if God is for me, he is more than the whole world against me. No argument. No argument. Go ahead and let people even that contend with you, this is not even up for discussion. The idea that I'm going to sit here and argue with you about something concerning what God is going to do for me because of who he is to me. Amen. There's no magic in this. Amen. All right? You have to understand that there's no place for your will in this. You just need, listen to me carefully now. What do I need to do concerning this? If it's not on volition or will, it simply means all that I have to do now is ascend my mind. Yes. This first question has to do with where you set your mind. Go ahead and say it with me. Where's your mindset? Where is your mindset? Where is it, sitting in the seat next to you? Or is it a part of what you're about to do next? Yes. Did you leave it at home? Did you forget it? Are you operating just so aloof this morning, wandering around just haphazardly, waiting for whatever is to happen to you next, just whatever it is, come on. It's your mind. Your mind must ascend. Listen, my mindset must ascend to this very point. If God be for me, who can be against me? Why? Because I'm basing it on what has been given. My mindset is based on what has been given, based on what I have experienced with God already, based on what God has done. I have the mindset that I have. Don't look at me like I'm trying to be all of that in a cup of tea. I have this mindset because of what God has already done for me. I know God's ability. God has the ability to swamp any enemy that I have. Nothing that comes against me is going to prosper. That's where my mindset is. I didn't say it won't come. I said it will not prosper. Weapons will be formed, but weapons will not. You can get the wind and the juice in your lips, but they are going to be to none effect. Yes, yes. It may even have me a little sleepless at night for a little while because of what you said, but trust me, I'm going to get over it. Sticks and stones might break my bones, but your thoughts and the juice that's in your lips will have no effect. They will not prevail. Are y'all hearing me? Yes, yes. I know God's ability to swamp anything that comes against me. And that's what I have to say about the who. If God be against me, who? Who? Now, that's all I have to say about that. No argument. God's for me. Now, can you conclude that this morning? Is that where your mindset is? If God be for me, what? Who? Right? So y'all ready. You set, right? You're strong. You're mighty in God right now. You're mighty in his power. You're mighty in his strength. I'm about to work you out. Moving forward. Question number one, you good. Because God's ability. You set, right? You got your scripture? Moving forward. There's something else that follows that. What shall we say to this? Answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. That's simple, right? Here comes the workout.
Where's your mindset? God is more powerful than anything, right? Okay. He says now, and he's declaring to you and giving you a sense of comfort that's established. What I'm about to discuss is what's going you're going to be doing to yourself when there is no physical opposition necessarily. Nobody's saying anything bad about you. It's just you now. Nobody, no talk, no discussion. Everything's going fine. Now he declares to you, giving you a sense of comfort about everything else, excluding some force coming against you. And here's what he says now. He says, everything else that you need from me, I'm going to make sure that it is provided. Now, you heard the term going deep. This is about to be bottomless. This is profound right here. This ain't just deep. This is just bottomless. All right? So don't worry about the depth of it. Just know that it has no bottom. There's no bottom to this. He's giving you a sense of comfort, and he's making the comparison between giving his son, Jesus, and anything else that you will need. Read it. He's making a comparison between giving his son Jesus and anything else that you're going to need. If I gave you my only begotten son, did I do it? Did he do it? Did he do it? Yes, he did. If I gave you my son and you are in agreement with me that he did personally for you, what's more valuable to God than his son? What's more valuable to God than his son? Answer, there is nothing, no, not you. You are only in a relationship with God because of his son. He sees you through his son. But what he did was, is he gave the most valuable thing to himself, which was his son, Jesus. There is nothing on a scale of significance that is more valuable to God than Jesus. Yes. Not the day, the night, the stars, the moon, the valleys, the rivers, the oceans. Nothing is more valuable to God than his son. So if God is saying, I gave you my best. Are y'all with me? Then please tell me, why are you so perturbed about whether I'm going to put a roof over your head? Help me. If I gave you what was meant the most to me, why are you here now worried about me putting a roof over your head? Notice there is a significance in comparison here. If God goes to the very top, and that's his what? Son. He goes to the top. He does not stop midway. He is not talking about Moses, not Elijah, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. He is not talking about Elijah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai. He is not talking about major, minor, prophetic. He is not talking about David, Noah, Methuselah. The significance is that he's comparing what he's going to do for you to his son. How is it that you can be so now upset after he gave you your son and you paying your rent? Somebody said, Now, if I have given you my son, then why are you in a tizzy about, is my child going to be okay? You've got to compare. Well, he gave me his son. Then why wouldn't my child be okay? It's because he already gave me his. Everything under that means that, God, why wouldn't you do it if you've already did that? Are y'all with me? If I've given you my son, why are you sitting here today losing your mind over getting a job that's going to be substantial enough to take care of your household? Before you start losing sleep, worrying about a job, why don't you get excited and go to sleep that I gave you my son? Because if you get excited and go on to sleep that I gave you my son, I promise you, you will discover that now you lay your head down to sleep, God's not only going to keep you, but he's going to provide for you. If I gave you my son, why is it that you find yourself so non-productive and it's so unhelpful to be lost in time over things that you're worrying about, tripping over whatever it is that you need God to do? Notice he says, how will he not with him do what? You read it. Wait a minute. He says, if I gave you my son, how will he not with him do what? Somehow y'all waiting for these words to come out of my mouth. But where I need them to be now is in your mouth. He says, how will he not with him do what? Okay, let me make this clear. Stop looking at me. If you don't already know it in your heart, look at it and read it. All right? I'm going to ask you for it and you say it. How will he not with him do what? Okay, thank you. So I bless you with a car, be it a Lexus or a Kia. Which one you want? You take the kid? If I bless you with a car, why are you crying to me that you ain't got no gas? I gave you a car. And you driving, now you're sitting, I ain't got no gas. I mean, why would you even have a problem wondering that I buy you a tank of gas if I bought you a Lexus? I'm going to give you a minute to try to make that make sense. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. Now you're going to go back and say, well, maybe he didn't give me that car. Now you got a bigger problem than this sermon, this message, what I'm teaching right now. If you got to go question whether or not God did what he did for you, and you're not sure about that, I can understand why you're sitting up there so sure and you're about to get kicked out because you got an E on your tank. But let me tell you something. I used to be worried about putting it on full. Now I just wanted to make sure that it ain't on empty. Huh? Every time I pass up and down Sixth Avenue, I watch the green numbers, not the red ones. That is unleaded. The baby drinks diesel, and I be watching those green numbers every time I go by. I watch them 305, 349. I go other places, I see it almost 447. I'm talking about diesel fuel. It doesn't matter what it say. It can say $7. I only need 1 gallon to get from Decatur to Fauquier. I'm not going to worry about it being on full. I'm not worried about that. I don't need a full tank. I need 1 gallon. I get 17 miles to the gallon. My house is 12 miles away. Get out of here. Make it make sense. Huh? You go ahead and you floss with your full tank. Okay. There is no sense in us fainting and shaking our head, falling out about a light bill. This is going to really be something that you got to fix with your own mindset. Because why would I give you a house? Go to the top. Can I work today? You see, the question that I ask is, what is this psychological debilitation that we have? Somebody sitting there say, did he just call me crazy? But if you make it make sense to me, then I won't say that you psychologically debilitated. What's wrong with us? Living day to day, and we operating out of such a debilitating mindset. And it's contagious. Because we ain't going to call nobody that's going to get us out of the ditch. We're going to call somebody that's going to jump in the ditch with us. Is there times that you won't call me about stuff, April, because you know what I'm going to say? I'm not going to lay and wallow with you. You're going to find somebody so you can get on that other end and shed them big old tears that you be shedding. You're going to call somebody. Yes. Tad, are there times that just stuff that you want? No, that's the wrong person to ask. Based on what's going on in your life, do you choose who you're going to call? Because you know what you already want to hear on the other end. And you don't want it to make sense. Yeah. It's debilitating because for him to have to tell us something so simple as this: if I have given you my son, simple, in order to bring you out of darkness into the marvelous light, I have given you my son. I've given you my son to have a relationship with you. And I've given you the most significant thing that I could ever rid myself of. So if I have done that, why do you doubt me in anything else? M-I-M-S, what does that spell? Nothing. It stands for make it make sense. This is my argument today. This ain't, y'all, I fooled y'all when I told y'all it was deep. It's simple. It's as simple as this. Why do you doubt me for anything, seeing that I've given you the very best? Let me digress a bit. Maybe it's because we become so depraved in our mindset that we cannot accept his extreme kindness. Maybe we cannot come to grips with God giving us something so splendiferous, something that is so magnanimous, something so great, because we have come to think that if we didn't be good for Christmas, we wasn't going to get anything. I'm preaching now. Guess what, y'all? It's too late now. You didn't have to be good to get something for Christmas. You were going to get it anyway. They were going to get it for you because you were their son, because you were their daughter. They were just trying to get a little break from your badness. Y'all ought to clap your hands, because there ain't been more truth told from a pulpit than that right there. You were going to get it anyway. Let me. The thing that they told you that they weren't going to get you, they already had it. It was in the closet. They weren't going to go stand in that return line to take that stuff back. Even if you on Christmas morning got it and say they append to it, I shouldn't have gave it to you. It's yours. I think sometimes that we just really, by comparison, we for some reason can't see and think that, God, you gave us something that is just really just so grand. I can't understand why you gave it to me, because I'm expecting from you to do for me the way I treat you. Because I've been brought up to think if I be good, then I get more. And the better I am, the more I get. But God looks back at you and say, I gave you my best when you didn't even deserve that. While you were a sinner, that's when I died for you. While you were yet in sin, I gave my life for you. Before you even got it right, when you couldn't get right, I died for you. Do y'all know what prayer is? I'm going to tell you what it is this morning. It's going to be a little different from what you know it to be before you got here this morning. Prayer is no more than God having you ask him for something that he's going to do anyway. You actually asking for something that God already planned to do. I was going to do it anyway. How much stuff and how many blessings in your life do you have right now you don't even remember praying for them? You know why? Because I answer before you ask. And while you yet speak, I hear you. You got more in your life that you didn't even ask for. But guess what you caught up on? The stuff that you still don't have. Am I talking some here this morning? I think that somehow it's the magnitude of his generosity that leaves us questioning the reality of it. Let me explain. The reason it's hard for us to really get with this is because we really don't. We're so used to being, careful, Don. We're so accustomed to being treated fake and phony. I almost said that we the fake and phony one, but I'm going to say we be treated fake and phony. Because if I said we the fake and phony one, then y'all ain't going to want to hear what else I got to say. But we're so accustomed to people being so unreal with us. And we're so accustomed to giving ourselves and then feel like we don't get that back equally. Until now, we think that's how our relationship is with God. Because, see, every one of us sitting in here in our own personal space feel like we give more of ourselves than people give back to us. You don't have to say amen. We always feel like we give more than we get back. And now we're kind of setting that up like with God. We think that God is going to treat us based on how we treat him. So now our reality is fogged. We sitting there, and sometimes we don't ask for it because we think we don't deserve it. You didn't deserve any of it. God gave it because he's God. Question of reality. Could this be real that God is giving me so much when really, do I deserve it? When what he said is, if I gave you my son, all of this come with it. And more. He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? God went all the way to the top. He delivered him up for us all, the ultimate for us. Somebody say, for me. Now, we're forced to compare Jesus being given to us with everything else that our hearts desire. All things. Oh, well, maybe God, you don't want me. Oh, well, maybe God. Oh. So now we get in this. I had this conversation with my sister cousin some time ago. She said we live out of scarcity. And I like that. Teresa told me that term some years ago. She said, we operate out of scarcity. And the longer I live, the more I can come to grips with that. Because we're sitting in this little cooped up mindset, we always think God wants us. I said, I can get from Decatur to Fort Worth on 1 gallon, right? We think that that's all that God wants us to have. It's just enough. And that's how we set our life up, with just enough. But God says, who told you I was just enough? Did you forget? Huh? I am more. I will do exceeding abundantly everything that you can ask. Above what? You think that it's just that I'm just sitting here having you living on the edge always. I'm trying to get you to free up some mind space right now. Can I work harder? I think many of the time, to be honest with you, the whole church scene is a little nebulous. We kind of like living in an something that's just not a real spiritual reality. Because we don't deal with the true reality that is God's reality. We don't deal with the reality that God really wants to make it to make sense to us. Because we talk about faith, right? How many of y'all in here have faith? You're people of faith. You consider yourself a person of faith. Come on, let me see your hand. But our reality of faith is beyond our ability to perceive or understand through our conscious thought processes. I'm going to make this, let me use some stuff so it can make sense to me, and then I'm going to come back down, okay? But I got to start up here in order for this to make sense to me. Our ability to perceive and understand through our conscious thought processes is just a fake reality. It's like we just in here and we saying this thing, but it's not really real. We just kind of fake faith people, because it's not based on a real reality. You say you have it, but you don't really believe it, because you're living on such an edge. You're not really with this whole thing that if God gave his son, he can give us everything else. You can't really comprehend that. I'm going to show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. show you what I'm saying about us. I'm going to include myself because I'm a work in progress. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 8. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians. This church scene is just like, it's just like kind of, that's why I'm driving now, telling my sons, my daughters, I'm texting on the way. I really want to see you this morning. I really want you to be here this morning. I need you to get this morning. I need you to get it now like you never did before. I'm like Christ going to Calvary. I'm not Christ, but I'm like him. This is like time is winding up now. I got to make sure that I go over everything that I've gone over for the last 42 years to make sure, 43, that you get what I'm giving to you right now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 8. They don't have a real reality. If they had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. But they crucified him. So what is it that they didn't know? They were living out of a false reality. If they had known, they never would have crucified him. Now watch this now. Be careful right here because they had to crucify him. Right? It was prophetically said that he would die at Calvary. But if they had known, they would not have done it. But they had to do it. Right? It states that none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Are y'all saying that? Essentially, if the people who were responsible for Jesus' crucifixion had known the true nature and significance of Jesus Christ as the Lord of glory, they never would have gone through with the act. But they were a part of a divine plan. Watch this. So now this kind of unreal church that I'm talking about is a part of a divine plan because they talk faith, but it's not a real reality faith. Oh, my God. They are participating in a reality, but they are not doing it cognitively. In other words, they are doing stuff, but it don't make sense. This verse right here in 1 Corinthians interpreted says that even though the crucifixion was a terrible act, somebody say that was most terrible, that they crucified the Lord and Savior, right? But it was part of God's larger plan for salvation, which the earthly rulers could not have fully comprehended. So now they are spiritually blind, but they are still fulfilling a divine plan. It suggests that those who crucified Jesus were spiritually blind to the true identity of who Christ was. Now, we're who are now taking part in this greater plan called the plan of salvation. I've got news for you today. Though you really don't operate out of a true cognition of faith, it's still working. Watch me right now. Stay with me. You got to stay close right here. And this is the last point. This is the last thing I got to say to you. Though you really don't believe right now what I just read from our text today, which is from Romans chapter 8, right? For he who gave up his son through him shall freely give us what? All things. We ain't going to walk out of here and get that. But this is going to hit you the rest of this week. It's going to hit you next week. And I'm praying, God, that it just come and just pound on you like nothing that has ever pounded on you before. I've got news for you. While you're talking faith but not really living in a reality of faith, you do much more by faith than you do by sight. You just don't know it. Somebody asked me to preach. I'm going to do it anyway. You just don't do it with a spiritual consciousness, but you're doing it. Somebody else asked me to preach. You don't do it through a spiritual reality, but you're doing it anyway. Which one of you that are sitting in a seat, ain't nobody standing? How many of you all checked that seat before you sat in it to make sure that it was going to hold those extra pounds that you put on that you said that you weren't going to gain? How many of you shook it before you sit in it? None of you. You just did what? You just did what? Why didn't you check it to make sure that it was going to hold you? Because you operating by faith. Huh? You don't analyze things from day to day. I'm finna talk about some stuff now. You will enter the room with a stranger. Because this is your first appointment. Take your clothes off in front of them. And then they will diagnose and treat you for what you say that's wrong with you. And you don't even know them. And you got your clothes off. You butt naked. And when they tell you what it's going to require for you to get better, you don't call the CDC. You don't call any other agency. They give it to you. You take it three times a day, and you believe that it's going to fix the problem that you say that you have. Huh? I just said you go to the doctor. That's what I just said. Y'all looking at me. Y'all did hear me, right? And you go in there, and everybody else, you trying to cover up and everything. That man just simply said, take your clothes off. Get undressed. How many of y'all looked at him and say, I don't know you? How many of y'all asked him, let me see your credentials? You just took them off. I want to pluck your spiritual nerve. And you'll look at the commercial. Warning, taking this medication may cause cross-eyedness, blindness, one leg shorter than the other, gross toenails, rough heels, and body ash. But when he give you something and write it, I'm on my way to the pharmacy. I got to get my prescription filled. When is the last time you asked him when he wrote it, what are the side effects? No, because you. Do you realize, when is the last time y'all took a flight? Do you know you getting on an extra thick layer toothpaste tube? That's all a fuselage is. It's just an oversized toothpaste tube. What else is it? It's not a box. It's not a circle. It's a toothpaste tube. And you climb up in there. You take a seat. You put on a nylon belt. Fasten it. And you get in there and get comfortable. Get up 40,000 feet. All you waiting on is peanuts and a Coke. Did you ask anybody for records when they say welcome to American Airlines? Did you say, let me see his driver's license? Him up there, hitting all them switches. Did you ask him about his driver's license? He ain't no better than you is. He walked around that airplane and looked at stuff that he can't even fix. And checked it off that it was okay. He trusted somebody. Now you trust in him. I'm going somewhere with this. And you go on in there. Hey, I'm bored now. I see you in 4 hours. Not if everything go okay. Not if we don't crash. Not if we don't run out of gas. Just, I see you in about 4 hours. That's all. Did y'all hear me? Listen to me. you didn't do any of the things that I just said by sight. What did you do them by? You did them all by faith. From the doctor's office to the seat in first class, you did it all by faith. Do you hear me? You had an interdependent confidence in somebody else. You trusted whoever that made that seat. You trusted that somebody did something right. I'm getting ready to close now. Every day by faith, every day by faith, you exercise a faith and don't even realize that you're operating in faith. Let me talk about one last thing here. How about y'all that's riding around with people that say they got your back? And then you say, what you gonna do? And then they let you see. They show you, I got it. I'm ready. I'm gonna put some lead in. They ain't pulled the trigger since I pulled teeth at the dentist's office. And you good now. My friend over there, they ready. You come at us. You trust that they can use what they got. And you hope that they get to theirs before who come after you with theirs get to theirs. Here's my point. Everybody is depending on somebody. By faith, trusting that somebody else has done their job. Do y'all hear me? When I got up yesterday morning and we had our new pool in our house, oh, I didn't tell y'all we was getting a pool. We didn't know either till we got up yesterday morning. And the pool, we just used the living room and the laundry room and all that for the pool. Because the ice maker sprung a leak. And I trusted God because I heard the water running, but I went on back to sleep. I say, I think I hear some water running. But I went on back and got on in the bed. I didn't go and check to see if the pool was filled. My wife, however, who is always on point, she got up and she say, is that water I hear running? I say, I think so. I heard it, but I didn't go check. And then when she walked out of the bedroom door and she hollered, Don, I said, oh, that was water that I heard running. And so we had to depend on each other that we're going to have to get this water out of here because we're just not going to be able to swim in our kitchen. And so we went to work together with a joint effort. So what I'm trying to say in everything that we do, even with one another, our significant other, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, everybody's dependent on somebody else, and faith is generally found in somebody else's record. Somebody say yes. And so what God is saying, and I need you to look at the series of events and then classify me. I want you to look at what I have done. God is telling you in this verse in Romans, look at my record. And when you look at my record, you can classify me. In other words, when I look at my checkbook and my checkbook says $1,000, I get happy till I see my bills. And my bills say $3,000. Now, I don't have to be a brilliant scientist, and y'all don't either. That ain't gonna work. Because I got $1,000 in my account, and I got $3,000 worth of bills. And yet and still, I'm to believe that there is a reality that will cover what I don't have. That somewhere, somebody is going to make up the difference, because when I look at the record, it says that I don't have enough to cover what I owe. Now, the practical person going to say, you stupid to believe that that's going to ever make sense, because that don't make sense. But when I flip from cognitive to spiritual, when I go ahead and let what's in my mind operate through truly what's in my spirit, I have a God that has a track record of making what is not manifest itself in reality. God can take stuff that don't exist. Oh my God. He has a record that shows this. And I may not check the pilot's record, but I have his record by way of testimony. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I got his record by way of testimony. He is a doctor that heals. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Yeah, but you're not getting this here. The one that I'm talking about has an extensive record of doing nothing but doing what is required for me in my life. And now I'm caught between, when I look at my checkbook and I look at my bills, I'm caught up right here. Somebody say right there. Should I trust God? Or should I go out and do what I know how to do? What he brought me out of. Yeah, God. Should I go back and figure this out for myself? Because y'all know what to do. Don't get me to talking in here. You know what to do when you don't have enough. And what you did was not of God. But do I, with in a life with him, do I trust him knowing that he is going to make up the difference between what I don't have and what I need? Do I stay right here? Somebody say, do I see right here? You see that there's a thing. If I can trust by faith every day the record of God, bring me that phone now, Cash. Bring it on up here now. Let me get on here. Why can I operate in faith with God? Now, this means a lot to you, right? Can I have it? I can't. Why? Because it means so much to you, right? This means a lot to you. Why won't you let me have it? It means a lot to you. So you can't let me have it because it means a lot to you, right? Did y'all hear what he just said? I can't give you that because it means too much to me. So I won't let you have it. But what meant the most to God? He gave it to me. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He didn't look at it and say, no, I can't give you that. He said, I'm going to give it. And that's the best I have. I told him it means a lot to me. He said, it means a lot to me too. That's why I can't give it to you. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all don't hear this. Every time I come up with something that I know that I need, I go straight to the top. He gave me his best. And if he gave me his best, he will give me the rest. I need you right now to come up with everything that you need God to do in your spirit right now. From a healthy baby being born to a job and a future that will provide for my child all the days of his life. Oh, yes. I need you to bring all of that up right here and put it on the table. Oh, yes. And know that there ain't nothing that you can ask for that God has not already given. But I need you to ask for it anyway. Oh, yes. Even though that you know that he's already answered it. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, you gave me this. But then you really don't want me to keep it, but you gave it to me anyway. Do you know what that means? He operating still in faith. Because he trusting that I know that man, and if he don't give me that one back, I believe he gonna give me something back better. Or he never would have gave it to me in the first place. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? If a stranger had come up to him, somebody that he don't know, somebody that he's not in a relationship with, and they had have asked him for this phone, they would have had to fight little Cash. And Cash would have been on them like a flea on a dog. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? You better think twice before you come at Cash, because I think he know how to use them things. And he ain't going to give up this phone. You're going to have to fight me to take it today. But he went ahead and he gave it to me anyway. This is the relationship that we have between one another. We give each other stuff, trusting that we're engaged with somebody that's going to treat us right. But God said, I don't even know whether you're going to treat me right or not. I'm giving it to you anyway. Come on, somebody. Here, you can have it back now. You sure? I might have. What if I was going to give you a 16 in place? Huh? No, no, no. You get, I'm saying, what if I kept it? I gave you a 16. A tray. Huh? Huh? Y'all hear what's going on up here, don't you? Huh? He wants to, now, he going to be y'all and I'm going to be God. We be cutting deals. Lord, I give you up this. What you got? 13? They give you 13, God, if you talking about the 16. But that ain't you giving me. That's a trade. In other words, I ain't giving this one up until I see that 16. That's all right. Thank you, Cash. Y'all give him a hand. I needed him to get it. I need you to really see this today, because this is when we're going from one level. Somebody say, I'm on my way to another level in my relationship with God. And these are the things that we have to deal with. Gloria, I have to use you because you're the senior. And then I need to use your granddaughter because she is the youngest one of you all right now. I think so. Yeah, she is the youngest one of the Tucker clan. That's the youngest one of you all right now. And I need her to know the other Sunday when I needed you in passing the torch. I needed you so that you can tell me some stuff, Kennedy. I'm not going to call you up, baby. I needed you here because I needed to know what's on your mind when you're standing they are waiting for someone to pass you that baton. When you're waiting for them to pass, what be on your mind when you're standing there? What are you thinking about? Because listen, people, while I'm closing here today, we need to know by virtue of her gift to run that is symbolic of what we're doing here in church ministry. Somebody say, passing the baton. You see, Mother Patterson, we need to know what we can do when we are passing that baton to be efficient for that generation that's going to take this thing on. That's why I needed to know, Kennedy, can you just tell me what's constantly on your mind when you're waiting for that baton? What be on your mind? You waiting? Listen, do you know when they have messed up behind you? You do? You know when they are messed up, right? But you go ahead and you take that baton anyway, don't you? And you try to make up for what they messed up. Listen, people. Tracy, we probably made a hiccup in getting to them. But what we got to do is we got to trust that God's power over them is going to help them to make up where we messed up. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we can't hold back this baton now because we done messed up and we don't want to trust them with it. We want to try to die and take stuff to the grave. I need y'all to get this whole faith thing today. If you operating that much by faith and they doing what they doing without the money that you got, you better believe they're going to do a much better job than we did. Clap your hands in here today. What place are you in the run? Where? What place, like, what number? Are you the anchor? You're the what? Fourth leg. How many behind you? She the what? I knew that I just needed y'all to say it, and I know you so athletically inclined. Tracy already know in her generation what this generation is all about. She is the anchor. She is the fourth runner. She got to make up everybody's. Huh? For whatever you all didn't do to get us behind, I got to bring this thing up to speed. Literally. Huh? And I know you sometimes be smoking mad, don't you? Yes, you do. But you run anyway, don't you? Now, I want you to look at Nation's Harvest, and I want you to be that anchor person. Cash, I want you to be that anchor man. Kenyon, you and T, I want you all to be them anchor people. Where we may have made a little mess and got us a little behind, I need you all to take this thing now, and I need you to run with it. And I want you to put so much wind until you make our hair blow back. You don't hear what I'm saying. I want you all to go ahead and take off with this thing. I'm going to bring this up every Sunday. And I'm going to keep talking until I have everybody up in here. Y'all going to see Doobie driving all the way from Anniston to church on Sunday morning. I ain't giving up on nothing. If my eldest son can say that my daughter that is in some real growth stages of being mentally challenged says that ain't no way that her sickness is bigger than God, and he have to let that come out of his mouth, it's got to come out of my mouth too. He still say Anna going to be fine. Well, then, what? Guess what I'm going to say? Anna going to be fine. She coming out. But I'm like a Hebrew boy right now. Even if she don't, I still will not bow down. Come to your feet in this room this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Thank y'all for being so patient. Nation, I have nobody but y'all would let me sit up here. I called y'all debilitated this morning, and y'all didn't even get mad. Y'all got quiet for a minute. Because I want to talk about where your faith is and where you want it to be. And I need you to get real with it. Don't. And I hope that you were able to really kind of make that translation. I don't want to be like them people who crucified Christ and didn't even know what they were doing. I don't want to have faith and declare before God and I'm not really operating in a spiritual faith reality. I want to do this consciously. I want it to be real. Now, listen, y'all, I ain't doing it. I ain't saying it like I got it all together. I still got some work to do. I got some work to do. Can I give y'all one more? Now, I posted something. I'm kind of like, I ain't got no Alzheimer's. I know. It ain't that I ain't claiming it. I don't have it. I've always had priority thinking. I let everybody else worry about stuff that I don't deem important. So Farrah called me yesterday, and Farrah said, Dad, I got to leave at 4. I said, close the store, baby. And she closed the store, and she locked everything up, and she set the alarm. So now that didn't meet with my cake lady who had to bring the cakes because we got to have some red velvet and some key lime and stuff like that, right? Right. So I said, oh, you just show up. Farrah's gone. I'll unlock the door. With me? So what did I do? I remotely unlocked the door. And the cake lady called back and said, I'm finished now. You can lock the door. Right? Y'all pretty well know how this story would go, right? I didn't lock the door. Right? Farrah left at 3:45. At 3:52, the man who had placed his order online showed up to get his order, and he walked into a dark store. All right? Now, I don't know about any of this until 8 o'clock last night when I get a text that says, Mr. Don, it said, I went down to your store and the lights were out, but the door was unlocked and it was a customer inside that was looking for their order. I got that 8 o'clock last night. Call me to let me know that you got this message. So now, I ain't making like, I'm not tempting God with my forgetfulness, but I was so busy cleaning the pool until I just didn't have time to think about locking that door back. And let me show you how God put everybody in place. The person who texts me is a work release person. He found my number and he texted me. When I went back to look at the video, when he walked in with the man, he stayed right there until that man came out of the store. Now he on work release. He like vapes, cigarettes, and everything else. And he got a whole store. But what does he do? He goes to find my number and text me. The man who came to pick up his order had made an online order for $72 worth of food because he comes down to the hotel once a year to bring his autistic son to swim in the pool. And they order all of their food from the store. He had ordered up 2 orders of wings, a po' boy, a couple of Red Bulls. He had ordered up $72 worth of stuff. So I can go in and I can look to see who he is. So I call him. And when I call him, he says, "This is Josh, Don. We back down at the hotel. We put in the order, but I got down there and it was dark. Nobody was there." "Don't worry about it." I say, "I'm going to make it up. I'm going to give you a gift." He says, "Don't worry about it. We just enjoy coming down here." He say, "Don't worry about it. I don't want the money back." Jesus. Now, here I have a personal work release and a person who genuinely just loves coming in that store. "We just love to come down here and see you, Mr. Don." Mm-hmm. "And I got my autistic son. We went on down to Kimmy's and we ate. But it wasn't like yours. But we'll see you next time. Don't worry about it." I say, "I'm still going to send you that gift certificate." Now, what I'm trying to tell you, if God gave his son, then he will make up for you not finding that checkbook, Gloria Dean. See, back there tapping to keep from hollering now. Y'all better look out. Because while you may look at me and say, "Boy, my dad is so forgetful and he is that," I'm trying to tell you that in everything that you do, God don't have you covered in one thing. He got you covered in everything. If I gave you a store, I'll help you keep that store safe. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you all? Now, I love that I have a wife who will lock up everything. She will lock up a car inside of a garage that is locked and alarmed. And I thank God for her. But she trusts a man that has a record. That though he will forget to close a door, he still got connection with a God by faith. That I can trust that he's going to take care of me and these children for the rest of our lives. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Now you grab hold with the hands with the hold to the person that you're standing next to right now. Kenyon, come on up here and you close us in prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He'll do it.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Woo!
Yes, he will.
Woo!
God, we just want to say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And we just thank you for everything that you do. God, we just ask, Lord, that you just keep this message that we got today on our minds, on our hearts, Lord. God, we just ask that you lead and guide us through as we navigate through this week, Lord God. We just want to say that we love you and we thank you just for everything that you do. And we realize, Lord God, that in you we have everything that we need. God, we just want to thank you just for being God, just for being great, for being strong, for being powerful, for being all-knowing, for just being our everything. God, in these things that we ask in your Son Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you, son. Gee, it's good to see you, baby. Baby shower is next Saturday. Am I saying something wrong? Oh, okay, I got it right. At 3:00, and they're what do you call that thing that you go to? Registry. It's on Amazon, wherever. If you want it, CT. So that they can get this little Kenyan over here. His name. I'll wait and let you tell his name. I'm not gonna tell it because I can't remember it anyway. And I'm so happy for them. I'm so proud of them. I'm grateful. And thank you all so much, Kenyan. Thank you for yielding yourself to this call. Each week I asked him, Kennedy and Cash, you guys. I'll ask Kenyan when
he has anything for the presentation, don't fail in your coming. He's going to make sure that he has the number of everybody. As a matter of fact, before you leave, make sure you give Kenyon your number. Kennedy, you make sure he has your number. You make sure he has your number so that while you may not want to bother Uncle Don, Pastor Hurt, whatever you call me, you can have somebody that you can reach out to for anything that you're going through so that he can be there with you and for you, okay? So you make sure that he gets your number. Go right to him when you get finished and make sure whenever he has something, he'll let us know, and we're going to work this. I'm not gonna let down on this, not at all. Amen. Where's Ty? They still on their excursion. You know, Alina and Ty. Okay. And they're enjoying the weekend. But you all, you continue to just be supportive of everything that we're doing and getting this thing passed. I want to make sure there's no way that a man is going to take a stage and make so much sense in a secular manner to tell some people in a message that's sublime, and then we take heed in such great way, and we in the household of faith don't at the same time simultaneously make sure that we're seeing that our people of God are staying awake. I'm not saying that the people that he's talking to is not people of God. The people that he's talking to certainly are people of God, because I heard him clearly, and things that he said made sense. It's just that we should all be one band, one sound. God bless you all. Don't forget to give your tithe and your offering. You know how to do them online. If not, you can do it in the traditional manner. And we look forward to seeing you all on next Sunday. Come to your feet and consider yourselves dismissed. You may go your way in peace. God bless you.